Welcome to another edition of Laughing Matters with Robert Burrill. Brought to you as always by Stand Up Records. Check them out online, standupcrap.com. My guest and backup vocalist for Wolf Mother. Well, still the theme song.
Yeah, still. I like how people that turn into this show, they're like, oh, is this a conservative talk show? Because all the conservative talk shows have like, they always come out with like hard rock music. To get you all fired up to hate whoever we're hating today.
Like, won't get fooled again. So we're listening to this,
everybody should have universal health care.
What did Hillary do today? Yeah. So Trump tweeted that global warming isn't real because it is cold outside. That is not how global warming works. And here to discuss that with us today is UN climate scientist Ralph Nyarknyard.
And then they're like, dig, dig.
My guest, Steve Gillespie, once again returning to the show.
Hey,
Steve,
y'all.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty of plugging the stuff that's... Actually, no, before we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the conversation, let's do the plugs.
Well, you're the host, you tell us.
Yeah,
okay. What am I plugging?
What do you have to plug? I know we got a New Year's Eve show together.
Yeah, when's this show coming out? Tonight?
This show will air tonight at 7 p.m.
Oh, perfect. So, yeah, I have a show at 8 o'clock tonight at the Comedy Corner Underground. You can make it down there. Yeah, it's 8 o'clock, Comedy Corner Underground at the Corner Bar in Minneapolis. Starts at 8. It'll be a great show. Good lineup. I'm headlining. And then we got our me and you, New Year's Eve, Minong.
Minong, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but that's
Steve
where we'll
and
be.
I, yeah, so if you happen to find yourself in Minong for New Year's Eve, come on down.
I don't even know what the place is called.
Yeah, there'll be there's probably
signs.
Some posters somewhere.
There'll be some signs, because it's a tiny town. So.
It's there's like a Hardy sign, a pro-life sign, and then the sign for our show will be in Minong.
Yep.
I have a show tonight at 8:30 at the New Hope Cinema Grill.
Ooh.
Yep. Headlining that bad boy. So if you're on the West Metro area and don't want to risk the inner city traffic that might be in your way when you go to Steve's, you can come out to my show.
Yeah.
And then New Year's Eve in Minong. How about podcasts, Steve? Anything you want to
promote? Oh, yeah. I got my podcast, very popular podcast, Under Our Covers, it's called. It's you can find it at Under Our Covers on Facebook. If you search Under Our Covers, you'll find it there as well. It's on iTunes and Libsyn as well. It's a great podcast. Robert's been on it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A little more political. Why don't you explain the show a little bit for people? Because they hear Under Our Covers, they might have some preconceived notions.
Sure. It's a relationship-based podcast we talk a lot about. It's me and my girlfriend, Rihanna Andrews, and we talk a lot about relationship issues, personal development, you know, all the perils and the... what's a good thing? Perils and triumphs. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, triumphs
of love and all the things between. So we get into some good stuff. We get into a lot of, you know, we get into some stuff about personal stuff too. You know, kink and all that, and all kinds of different fun topics. So check it out, Under Our Covers.
Under Our Covers,
a very sex positive show as well. That's how I would describe it.
That's good.
I know
there's
that
too
makes
many
people
sex
so,
negative shows.
So queen, people are but it's okay. It'll
a lot of stuck
fine.
Up.
You're all right.
A lot of stuck up people sexually.
Yeah, I think there's a war on sex.
I mean, I feel like you can trace a lot of phobias, a lot of anxieties, a lot of intolerance, a lot of aggression, anger, frustration, to like having an unhealthy or lack of a sex life.
Yeah, it can be an issue for sure. I think, yeah.
You're just happier after sex. Yeah. You know, sex is, you know.
It just makes people so uncomfortable. Like, I think people get really uncomfortable when you even bring up the word sex, you know. Not everybody, but I think there's a big chunk of this country that's very sex negative in the sense they just want to keep it out of their, you know. They don't want it anywhere near them. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to hear anything about it. And I think that's kind of hindering us a little bit as a society.
Well, let's get into, we have about 7 minutes in this first segment. We were talking about the...
7 minutes in heaven.
We were talking about Franken.
Ooh, yeah.
Leaving the Senate now, and this kind of gets to the whole, like, Me Too movement thing, like, you want to be sex positive, but not, like, grabbing butts
and boobs and stuff
when you're at the state fair.
Sure, yeah. I feel like I'm probably going to get torched for some of these things that I've been, and again, I'm dumb. I don't know what I'm talking about. This is a safe space.
The walls are carpeted. You're amongst friends.
I mean, I just mean, like, I don't, you know, don't,
we don't
take anything
calls.
That I'm, you know, if someone hears this, I mean, you can call me an idiot. I don't even think I'm necessarily right. It's just the things that I think about. And I do think that some of this, of all of this is coming out, is kind of like people being, it is kind of like a sense of like a war on sex where people are just uncomfortable with the openness of sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is kind of, I'm not saying this all this is, I'm not saying, I do believe victims, and there's an issue of sexual harassment, but I also think
you're
that,
not defending Harvey Weinstein.
I'm not defending anybody.
I just want to make sure that's clear.
But I do think that part of it is, there's a small, maybe bigger than small, but there's a part of it is like, this is a way to kind of control sexuality, is to kind of put, you know, make everyone really scared to even try to, oh man, I'm choosing my words so carefully.
Well, the Franken, like, I mean, you know, it definitely has its positive qualities, because I feel like monsters like Weinstein should be outed, disgraced. Yeah,
absolutely.
Without question.
1,000%.
But at the same time, I think it's naive to think that this movement, which is very positive and necessary, can't also be weaponized for political means.
Yeah, it's already has.
Especially, yeah, when you look at guys like Roger Stone, who have no scruples, and I think Franken is kind of an example of that. Like the whole Leanne Tweeden thing, when photos come out with her grabbing soldiers and stuff,
yeah,
and then it's like, well, you're slut-shaming her. She should be able to pick and choose. And it's like, okay, but if she seems to be happily, you know, conducting herself in this environment, to then years later say that Franken made her uncomfortable when she's doing the same thing to Robin Williams, and there's pictures of her hanging out with Franken socially before this thing came out. It just, and I you're a contributor to Fox News.
Yeah, that one was such an obvious attack. You know, it was an obvious malicious attack, and I, you know, that's politics.
And it's actually a brilliant move for the right.
It kind of blew
because
up in
if
face,
you're
it,
well, a little bit, but if I mean to be fair, like if Roy Moore, despite all the horrible things he believed, hadn't been accused of molesting so many girls, he probably would have won.
Yeah, probably.
So
I agree with that.
Yeah. And so
that's what I'm saying. It's kind of blew up in their face in the sense that, well, Franken, so the Democrats are like, all right, yeah, we'll step down. Anytime there's an issue like this, we'll step down. Rightfully so or not rightfully so. In my opinion, I think Franken was, I think that was railroaded, and I don't think that he should have stepped down. But I understand why, and, and it was a political move, I think, to really put the pressure on the Republicans to take accountability for the stuff that they've been doing. And I really think that had a big part of what happened to Roy Moore, for sure.
Well, it definitely raises the issue when Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked, what's the difference between Al Franken and Donald Trump? And she's like, well, I mean, Franken admitted he had done something wrong. It's like, well, what's the lesson there?
He didn't really admit. He admitted to the whatever her name is, the Fox News lady, the media person.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other accusations, he did not.
But he just expressed contrition. He's like,
it's not how I remember it.
He equivocated it. Exactly. Yeah, Versus, just calling them flat out liars, which is, I feel like, what the right does. Then everyone on the right is like, well, yeah, women be crazy. And it doesn't. I think in Roy Moore's case, it's the fact that it was children.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But if you just, you know, take just harassing women and that sort of stuff in general, I feel like the right is more like, well, whatever, he's a strong power, they're just trying to take him down. And then the left is almost like, listen, believe women at all costs.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's necessarily the right move either. I think you definitely have to take their claim seriously.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
But to automatically believe them without looking into anything at all either, it's like you have to take each issue individually and definitely look into it.
Yeah.
But to convict these people without any sort of, a trial or letting them get their side of the story
out. Yeah, and that's already, we talked about it on the way over here. That's already kind of there is this little backlash that's happening with all of us, of like the universities, you know, during the Obama administration, and I think it was Joe Biden that really pushed this, where they like kind of made protocol for universities of what was happening with rapes on campus and all this and that, and they basically said that, you know, if there's any, you know, anybody's accused of anything, you pretty much have to, you know, kick them out of school.
Yeah.
And that's what was happening, is that they were, people were being, you know, male students were being accused of things, harassment and abuse and assault, and without any sort of due process, they were getting kicked out of school. And now what's happening is those male students, a lot of them, are now suing the universities and winning because it's unconstitutional. And that's I think was what you're kind of saying, is like, okay, there's this like, yeah, we need to believe victims or take them seriously.
Absolutely.
But we also need to, you know, just because it's sex related doesn't throw the Constitution out the window. It doesn't throw the law book out of the, you know, people still deserve due process. We still, you know, those rights are there for a reason. And, or else it does become basically a witch hunt, is basically what it becomes.
Well, and you had the one Washington Post story where that woman made false claims that Roy Moore had assaulted her just to try to get them to print it. And then they could say, well, hey, they'll believe anybody. Yeah. We just paid her to lie.
Yeah.
And it, you know, that James O'Keefe, whatever that is, that, and there's proof. There's proof right there that they're weaponizing it.
There was another Chuck Schumer. Didn't something happen with Chuck Schumer where someone wrote a letter and it was all trumped up and it wasn't real, and then he went to the police with it. He's like, yeah, someone's trying to fake, you know.
Yeah, that'll happen too.
Oh, is this a break?
Yeah, this is a break. We'll be back with more Laughing Matters right after this.
Oh, I love this song.
Introducing a new day of the week. Someday. Now, everything you were going to do someday is on the calendar. Want to retire someday? You'll really want this. A My Social Security account at socialsecurity.gov. You can estimate your future benefits and manage current benefits online. Millions of people have a My Social Security account. Get yours today, because someday is here at socialsecurity.gov.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry, where the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono ultramicroscopic silico-volcano coniosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that, standuprecords.com, for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is a perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy Center event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates available, located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
You know, here at Stand Up Records, when we say we have the best names in comedy, we're not messing around. In fact, we were there first, with comedians who went on to become household names. Names like Hannibal Buress, Maria Bamford, the Sklar Brothers, Doug Stanhope, Mark Maron, and Louis Black. So why not head on over to standuprecords.com or amazon.com or the iTunes Music Store and pick up a classic CD, DVD, or download of the best comedians working today. And check out some of our other artists, because you never know who the next big thing will be. That's standuprecords.com.
some cowbell in this.
A little bit, yeah. Well, Nazareth, I think. The only shows on AM 950 you hear in Nazareth, by the way, are me and Neil Larson's Financial Hour. We're still...
You're always getting good Neil Larson quiz.
Is Neil... he still has a show on here, right? Do you know? Am I beating a dead horse with this?
I'm not sure.
Not sure. Fair enough. Who knows?
All right. Even if he died like 5 years ago, you should just keep doing Neil Larson bits.
I love it.
Just keep him alive.
Yeah, he's my frenemy. Yeah, for sure. Because for a while, he would have the show that taped before mine, and he would just, like, make fun of the comics or whatever. Like, we'd come in, and he'd just joke about, like, how tired they were, how poor they looked or whatever. And it's like, well, sorry, we don't have a financial show.
I love that.
Again, it was funny. Just this old guy that just, so like, whatever.
You're so poor and malnutritioned. Yeah, is that a word, malnutritioned?
Malnurished?
Malnourished, that's what it is.
I knew
what
you meant.
My vocabulary is not good.
My guest, Steve Gillespie, show Laughing Matter, sponsor Stand Up Records. You have the most recent album you have is on Stand Up
Records. Yeah, it came out on this past May, and it hit number one on iTunes, called Alive on State. It's on Stand Up Records. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora. Check it out.
And I have an album, Sex and Politics, on Stand Up Records. I'm not going to say where it peaked, but it top 200.
Top 200. Yeah, but you weren't really like pushing it too hard.
No, and I haven't been on television either. Like did a little like Facebook ad thing, and like I was able. Emma Willman and played it on her Twitter show and stuff. So like a few headliners that I've worked with helped me out a little bit, but there wasn't any sort of like
big drive.
Yeah, big investment in getting that out there.
Yeah. But it's all right. You got it out there.
I got it. I a little bit of a back. You had an album, Steve or Fever, too, before.
Yep.
Before the big one.
Yeah.
For Alive on State.
Yep.
So my guest, Steve Gillespie, let's get into, so Roy Moore, fortunately, lost, unless you're Roy Moore, then you're still waiting for all the votes to be tallied.
My favorite Roy Moore moment was when he pulled out he was like giving a speech, and then he was like talking about like gun rights order, and then he like pulled out a pistol. Do you remember that? Oh, that was great. You should. Roy Moore would have been a perfect, like, he would have been president if it was like, you know, like 1890, somewhere around
there. Yeah, like, you know? William Henry Harrison. Like, I'm not going to wear a coat. Like, it's like 20 below.
They're just like,
they need to know I'm a man. Then you
die in pneumonia.
Challenging
people to duels and shit. Yeah. You know? Stuff, I mean.
Whoops. Absolutely. So Doug Jones won. Doug Jones will be in the Senate.
Doug Jones.
Yeah.
He sounds like a relief pitcher from the 1990s.
Well, and if you look at him, he just has like a dad kind of thing. Like, just, you know, vote for dad. And you're like, all right.
He was like everybody knew who Roy Moore was, but I think most people were like, I'm not voting for Roy Moore. Mm-hmm. I'm going to vote for this Doug guy.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for milk.
Yeah.
Like, that's poison.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll go with milk.
Yeah. So what about him? Is he back in the news?
Well, it's just a matter of, like, the balance in the Senate shifting a little bit. And now we have...
It's 51-49?
Yeah.
Okay.
2017 coming to a close, 2018... Fast approaching. That's midterms.
Mm.
Democrats have, like, I think a 10-11 point lead last I checked for taking control of the House.
Yeah, how does that, you say that? They have an 11 point lead to take over the House, but I don't get what that means.
Yeah,
you're saying
in the
races,
every race is
10 point,
the,
or the average?
The average of the...
That's misleading.
Yeah. They said Hillary Clinton had a 94% chance of winning the presidency. So again, who knows what any of this means? It's a talking point, but it's also a talk show. So I feel like
I got to go with something. Like, it's important.
We'll pretend like it's important.
So yeah,
like it is important that the Democrats get control of something.
Sure.
I mean,
and
even if it's
that,
not the Senate and the House, if they can get the House, just some sort of counterbalance.
Yeah. And I think they definitely have momentum. I feel like they do, for sure. It'll be interesting.
I mean, people think that, a pedophile shouldn't win.
Sure.
But, like, he still got pretty close to winning.
Yeah, it was like 1%.
So it's a big deal that a Democrat, and it kind of parallels Obama's first 2 years, too, when he gets elected, and then Scott Brown, a Republican, wins in Massachusetts for the first time in forever. Mm-hmm. Now Trump is in, Republicans control everything, mm-hmm. and then a Democrat wins in Alabama for the first time since, like, 1992.
Yeah. Who was the last one to win down there?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I've been to Alabama, and it's time to give it away. just whoever wants it.
Russia, as a gift.
Whatever. Syria, just have it.
I don't even think they would know. I feel like if we just didn't tell Alabama and just let them continue to be Alabama,
yeah,
they'd have no idea. As long as they have football. If you give them their football,
we should do a tour down there. Know. Let's go down and do a tour. There's some shows down there. We should go down there. Let's do it.
The Welcoming Death Tour?
Two Northerners.
Yeah. Carpetbaggers?
Yeah. I like it.
2018 Carpetbagger Tour? Yeah.
So what about more? Are you just talking about the balance?
I'm just talking about the balance, and then 2018's coming up, and do you feel, because I've seen a lot of articles where it's like the Democrats can't just be the anti-Trump party, and like, I feel like I read a lot of how Republicans couldn't just be the anti-Obama party, and that worked out pretty well for them for three elections in a row.
I mean, it just comes down to if minorities are minorities and women and young people are going to get out and vote. That's what it comes down to. That's why Hillary didn't win, and that's why Trump. It's not like Trump had this like crazy run and got all these votes. Hillary just didn't get people out to vote.
She didn't excite people.
No, and Trump basically got the Republican base more or less.
Yeah,
and that's really it. It's not like I think he had less votes than whoever Obama ran against last time. The second time,
Romney.
Yeah, I think he had less votes than Romney did. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong about that. People don't listen to anything.
You're not wrong that Hillary really didn't excite anyone, except like maybe a few.
But I would be curious to know if who got more votes, Romney or Trump, or who, and then who did Obama run against the first time? That was McCain.
Yeah,
I'd like to see the total numbers there, because I think that Trump got less votes,
probably,
than both of them.
Yeah.
People just didn't get out.
No, but now he's dead. Like, I think the left is incredibly fired up and anxious to put a stop to everything. Yeah. So I think they're going to come out in mass now.
I hope so.
Because I feel like there was a lot of complacency that set in with Obama, where a lot of the left were like, well, we got him in. Like, he can stop anything bad from really happening, not focusing on statewide elections and Congress.
Yeah.
And so as soon as he gets out of there, it's like, oh, now we don't have anything at all. And
that's the one thing about democracy. It's really easy to get complacent.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Really, really easy. Because even, you know, you get an election comes around like 2018, you're like, well, there's going to be another election soon, you know? Like,
yeah.
If you get busy that day or whatever.
And I feel like it wouldn't be that big a deal if Trump were just like, even if he were a boring, stuffy, regular Republican, the edge would be for the Democrats. But the fact that he's like an unpredictable psycho, I think just makes them even more fired up.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, he's just been so vocal and like...
That's the thing. He's in the news every single day. Yeah, Trump fatigue, I feel like, is also a factor in it too.
Yeah, for sure. But it'll be interesting to see maybe we can talk about this when we get back, but what happens with the economy over the next couple of years? What happens with the tax breaks and how that affects people? Because I don't think people really know. I don't think anyone really knows what's going to happen with that.
Yeah. And, we'll talk about that then. Yeah. All right. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Took me down in Juarez, Mexico.
Dave Waite, hot dog.
Sometimes I think I should go see a therapist. I know that's something you can't say in the Midwest. It's probably more comfortable to fart on an elevator and tell everybody to get a whiff.
The all-new album from StandUpRecords.com.
We went to Milwaukee because my dad was collecting postcards at the time, so we drove 7 hours in a car to see tiny pictures of other better vacations.
Now available from StandUpRecords.com, the iTunes Music Store, and Amazon.com. Dave Waite, hot doggin'.
All right.
It's the best time of the year. Toyota-thon is on. Rudy Luther Toyota is celebrating their 40th anniversary with great deals all month long on all new Toyotas. With huge incentives from Toyota, now is the time to buy. Great rebates on RAV4s, great rebates on Camrys, and remember, you get my favorite perk from Rudy Luther, the Luther Advantage Card, which gets you 10 cents off per gallon at holiday station stores for 3 years with every vehicle purchase. Toyota-thon is on. Stop in today on the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Norman Goldman from my favorite Minneapolis furniture store, Habitation Furnishing and Design. Let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy your home? Does your furniture make you comfortable? Are you proud to have guests over? With the long winter months shutting us all in and the holidays fast approaching, I encourage you to visit Habitation St. Louis Park Showroom to see what potential awaits. Let Habitation help you craft a space that makes your home the place to be this holiday season. Check them out at HabitationDesign.com. Tell them Norman Goldman sent you.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Warning. Last year, over 40,000 Americans died in car-related accidents. Not a pleasant thought, is it? In fact, as thoughts go, it's downright depressing. Well, that's where we can help cheer you up. We're StandUpRecords.com, and we offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, downloads, and merchandise from the best comedians on earth. Artists like Marc Maron, Maria Bamford, Eddie Pepitone, and Doug Stanhope. Available at fine record stores, Amazon.com, and the iTunes Music Store. That's StandUpRecords.com. Come on, listen to us while you're driving. Live dangerously.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, expect lows around negative 17 degrees, with wind chills getting as low as negative 29. On Sunday, a high near negative 4, with wind chills as low as negative 32.
Which appliance store has more of everything you want? Over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners believe it's the specialists at Warner's Stallion. We guarantee never to be beat on price. Ask one of our customers to rate our free delivery, appliance installation, and recycling services. Go to WarnerStallion.com to learn more.
Yeah, this is definitely the
I like jungle. You just like, ba ba ba, to whatever song. It's got, this is the AM 950 Jungle.
The Jungle. The
show's Laughing Matters, my guest, Steve Gillespie. New Year's Eve, Minong, Wisconsin. Me and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Get your tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Minong.com.
Minong.
That's probably not a website. So you want to talk a little bit about the tax bill?
Well, I think the strategy of Trump and the whole Republicans is going to be is that if the economy continues to do what it's been doing and grow and be strong, and if the tax cuts, you know, don't hinder that, they're going to hammer that. That's going to be what they're going to try to ride in on, I think. That's in my opinion.
They're going to hammer that, but at the same time, I feel like the midterm shift that always happens once a president's party's in, like, I mean, yeah, the average middle-class family is going to see a bit of a cut, but even that won't be until the next election already happens anyway.
Well, yeah, when is that coming into effect?
Yeah, I would imagine that's the next tax cycle, because it's not going to be this year.
No.
Because people are talking about trying to prepay for their, like, property tax and stuff like that, because there's going to be fewer deductions now.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't affect this year. So they'll essentially be running on, like, hey, trust us, this is going to be cool, versus the Democrats, who can say, like, it favors the corporations.
Sure.
That tax cut is permanent.
Yeah.
For everyone else, it expires after a while, and you can't deduct as much.
Mm.
So, and again, yeah, it's a complicated bill like Obamacare, like you would see like their handwriting parts of it and Olympia Snow. I think it was, or maybe it was Susan Collins. One of the, maybe Susan Collins was the one that in order to get her vote, they had to promise that they would like help prop up the Obamacare market if they're going to get rid of the mandate. Mm-hmm. And like Mitch McConnell's like, yeah, all right, we'll just try something. And she's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like you can't trust these people.
Yeah. Well, that's, I don't even really, it's not that I don't trust the press, but I don't even really think the press understands what this is going to be and how. And I think there's so much conflicting information about what it actually is and what it's going to do that, yeah, I don't think we are really going to know the effect of it until it kind of happens. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, if it's a, overall ends up being, you know, people feel like they've been impacted in a positive way, it's going to be tough to overcome, you know. Well, people vote with their pocketbook. It's a, you know, you've seen it throughout history that if the economy is doing well, it's really tough to beat an incumbent. It's a really hard thing to do.
But at the same time, I think we've also seen in history when you're just doing tax cuts that mainly benefit the wealthy that go that like
It doesn't do
Reagan,
it doesn't do shit.
Bush too. Like just you tank the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Democrat comes in and raises taxes a little bit and things start to go well again. It's like, you know, things are great. Like, why are we, what are we doing with all these regulations?
Yeah. And I mean, the one thing that's so hypocritical too is like the whole, you know, anytime there's been a Democrat in office, it's always been about the deficit, deficit all the time, deficit. And then, but this tax, like how they're dipping into the, they're creating more deficit.
The deficit only matters if we're spending too much on Social Security. If it's old people, sick people, poor people, like we got to raise. But if it's just cutting taxes for corporations and it's like, well, I mean, whatever, it's the deficit. Like we don't actually owe people that money.
I mean, the economic argument to all that is that if, okay, so hypothetically the idea of the trickle down basically is what this is that if, okay, so you cut taxes for major corporations and if there that spurs them to have these like huge profits, then you're actually making up and possibly making more tax revenue because they've made more money. So yeah, you've lowered the percentage, but you've lowered the percentage of a bigger pool, so then it evens out or actually gives you more money. That's the get what I'm saying. I mean, that's the argument that they will try to make. Will that happen? Who knows?
Well, no, they keep the money for themselves. Like, if you can get people to work for as little as possible, you're going to have them work for as little as possible.
Yeah that's kind of how a market works. But we'll see. I mean, maybe I sound like I'm too positive about this because I don't really, I never trusted the tax cut at all.
You're a dreamer, Steve.
I'm a dreamer. But I don't know. I mean, you know, it's hard to predict.
Well, I mean, the benefit is the fact that I think it was, Wall Street Journal that had when I saw this article, but it was basically saying that like the tax cut itself, I mean, there really isn't anything super permanent with the exception of like getting rid of the Obamacare mandate and then some rates thing or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the gist of it is like once Democrats get the House or Senate or both or whatever, like they can tweak this again. They can increase taxes on this. They can like reshift things anyway.
Yeah, and that's kind of the whole thing too with the net neutrality too is like that's not something that sounds like it's going to be very permanent. It's going to be kind of always going back and forth.
Well, it almost seems like the clean energy thing. Like I feel like we've turned a corner in that. Like Trump can talk about coal jobs. Mm-hmm. He can try to make subsidize the dirty energies, but like people know what the future is. The future is wind, solar, that sort of thing.
There's nothing stopping
and
that.
There's nothing stopping that. And even people in those industries, like, okay, we'll just hang on for a Democrat. And the shift is coming because ultimately that is where it's going to have to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with net neutrality and also with a public option, I feel like that's what's going to happen ultimately.
Yeah.
Is that we're going to have a public option. There's just no other way around it. I mean, premiums keep going up. Like, why? That allows you to for that competition. You have a bare bones government option, just like education, whatever. If you want to spend more money and get a better product, that's fine. But as long as everyone's covered with a taxpayer paid option.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It'll be an interesting next couple years, that's for sure. And then 2020 is going to be bananas. It is.
Who do you think? Who's your? You're a bit of a gambling man. You're a bit of a gambler. You're a rambler, a gambler.
Yeah.
If you had to put money on a Democratic candidate in 2020, who would you put money on?
As far as who's going to like be the candidate for them?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I'd like to see Bernie run again. I caucused, me and Robert caucused for Bernie.
We did.
It's the only time I've ever
St. Louis Park, we caucused together.
Yeah. Caucus sounds like such a dirty word, doesn't it?
It does.
Caucus. Anyway.
Thought that might have been like a launching pad for a riff or something, and then you just got back into the...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to talk too dirty by throwing out...
It's AM radio.
Too much.
I feel like we're fine.
Anyway, so yeah, I would like to see Bernie run, but then I like the younger Kennedy guy. What's his name again?
Patrick?
Patrick.
Is it Patrick?
Patrick. P. Kennedy.
Patrick Kane, very funny comedian.
Yeah, I don't know how that popped in my head.
Follow him on Twitter.
It's the morning.
Great joke writer.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess one. I mean, I'm not really
Bernie. Are you thinking Bernie?
I would like to see Bernie run again.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely has. He has a base. He has a rabid, tech-savvy, youthful base. Mm. And I feel like the only downside to Bernie is like just trying to bring moderates and independents in.
Sure.
Because there's like a very powerful neoliberal side to the Democratic Party that's close to Wall Street, that is very business friendly, very CEO friendly. And it's like, listen, as long as we treat gays as people and keep abortion legal, we got. And it's like, but you're not exciting anyway. It's the same NAFTA pushing.
Yeah. They're basically Trans-Pacific the same on the partnership. Economy,
yeah. Basically. They're Republican light.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I just worry that they're going to take the wrong message from Trump's election and be like, oh, we just need to run as smart Republicans.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, be pro-worker. Be, favor the working class. Because those votes are out there, and it's not just a white vote.
Mm-hmm. How do you I mean, in today's economy, though, like, how do you actually favor the working class? What is the answer there, Robert? How do you do it?
I would say that first off, minimum wage laws. I think you up those. I think you
public give them more. Option.
Well, yeah, and then give them an actual tax cut. Raise taxes on the wealthy, on corporations, on the 1%. Soak them. They're building, that 1% of one whatever. Soak them. Yeah. Absolutely soak them.
Soak them in what?
Soak them in bleach. Okay. Soak them like there's, they'll be fine. They'll be, the idea that we have to worry, like, oh, we can't upset the 1% because they create all the jobs. And then I've never worked for a poor person.
You wouldn't even have to raise, you could get that, you could get money. You wouldn't even have to raise taxes if you just shut down offshore banking.
Yeah.
Where they can just put money.
Give the IRS teeth.
Yeah.
People always talk about how bad the IRS is. Well, no, the IRS should just target the right people. Like, give them the resources to go after the big dogs, wherever they're storing it, and give them as much teeth as you can. They're not going after, like, mom-and-pop shops or whatever. I would redirect the focus of that. I think it's kind of an independent agency. But, like, do what you can to, shift the focus on that. More tax breaks, more programs, investing in community colleges, trying to make education more affordable, probably not free.
Yeah.
But I think Bernie got a bum rap for that too, because they're like, well, how are we going to pay for this stuff? Well, obviously you're going to have to pay for college a little bit, but at least you're exciting people.
Yeah. I agree. I just don't know how, I don't know what the answers are. I think especially there's so many people in this country that really are behind the times. And I don't mean that in like their ideas. I mean like... skill-wise, because they don't, blue-collar labor is dying off. There isn't, with automation, with all the things that are happening, like, there's not going to be that kind of work. It's just not in the future. That's just not a thing. And so how do we figure out a system where people are contributing when there isn't those types of jobs for lower-educated people?
Yeah, well, you have to find ways to educate them. Community college, make college more accessible, affordable. Mm. You get rid of for-profit institutions because those are just predators.
Yeah.
And then I think you also have to, like, cut, like, you see college, the amount of money that goes into like overhead and the bureaucracy of a college where you have like, oh, I'm in charge, you know, the liaison for this. To like, we don't need you. You're like,
yeah,
professors, well, that, department heads,
yeah,
and then you have like the university president. Like, why do you need these administrative college positions that rake in six figures for essentially doing nothing?
Yeah, I don't,
they watch people. They do two or three PowerPoints. Like,
all I know is that when the, I mean, it would seem like a great thing where the government was like, all right, we're going to give loans to everyone that wants to go to college, and it seems like a good thing, right? But then what was happening? How markets work. The colleges were like, well, we can just keep raising the cost of tuition because it's not really on the students, it's on the government. So we'll just keep raising and raising and raising and raising and raising the cost of tuition, cost of college, and the government's footing the bill. So now people, a lot of people in my generation, your generation, are just, we just have huge amounts of college student loan debt. And the colleges walked away making bank, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's a whole other thing too. It's like, okay, so if you really look at how markets work, like if you're going to like any sort of, which basically what a college is a business, any sort of business like that, if they know that they can keep raising the prices and still get people to come because the government's paying for it, that's what they're going to do. So how do you stop that?
Maybe a rating agency, the same way you rate Wall Street with trust and stuff. You have a rating agency for universities, the amount of job placement stuff. And you're like, well, why would I go to this college if only 10% of people have gotten a job from there?
Yeah, that's true.
We'll be back with more Laughing Matters right after this.
Solving the world problem.
Imagine a world where no one ever went hungry. Where you didn't have to choose between clean air and clean water. And where bitter, drunken comedians didn't have to work in small, dark clubs to tell you how severely screwed up everything is. If that kind of world scares you the way it scares us, then we can help. We're StandUpRecords.com. We offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, and merchandise from the best stand-up comedians on Earth. So please give generously, and remember, together we can't save the world. Yeah, no, we can't. So you may as well just buy something funny. That's StandUpRecords.com.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts. 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono-ultramicroscopic silico-volcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that StandUpRecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's StandUpRecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
So Hada Krismica just snuck up on us, and you've waited and waited all year to get your carpet cleaned. Getting your carpet zero-res clean makes your home healthier to get rid of the bacteria and dust mites and dander lurking in your carpet. This month, get three-room zero-res clean starting at $129. Plus, this month, you can get great deals getting your air duct zero-res clean. So call zero-res today because your family deserves a clean, fresh-smelling home for the holidays. That's 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
This is Kevin Ross from Hoppy Charlie, and you're going to absolutely love our new heated and air-conditioned electric bus. We've completely restored 1968 West Coaster to its original condition. It's a lightweight electric vehicle so you can taste with no waste. Let us drive you in comfortable style while you have fun tasting beer and learning about the area's best craft breweries and interesting neighborhoods, all without impacting the environment. Book now at 612-607-3681 or online at hoppytrolley.com.
Imagine a world where no one ever went hungry. Where you didn't have to choose between clean air and clean water. And where bitter, drunken comedians didn't have to work in small, dark clubs to tell you how severely screwed up everything is. If that kind of world scares you the way it scares us, then we can help. We're StandUpRecords.com. We offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, and merchandise from the best stand-up comedians on Earth. So please give generously, and remember, together we can't save the world. Yeah, no, we can't. So you may as well just buy something funny. That's StandUpRecords.com.
And we're we're back. Talking dirty on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, with my guest Steve Gillespie.
I like that way better for your show, a name for your show. Talking Dirty with Robert Marino.
Talking Dirty.
The progressive AM 950, where they talk dirty.
But it's still like the NPR voices.
Yeah. Okay, give me that.
I had a thought today about Elizabeth Warren.
And I'd really like her to come over and see my caucus.
Gonna caucus for Kamala Harris tonight. Steve, you got a show. You got a show tonight. You can probably still make it, but drive safe. Comedy Corner Underground.
Yeah,
get over. Headlining Courtney Baca.
Yep.
Featuring a few other people, showcase people. Mm-hmm. I'm at the New Hope Cinema Grill. John Russell featuring Central Rajashekaran.
Santa
is emceeing. That's going to be a fun show if you want to come over to New Hope. Tomorrow night, Minong, Wisconsin.
Yep.
Steve and I getting the band back together.
Yep.
Ringing in the new year, Minong.
Minong. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Any other gigs after that, or are you back in LA?
Back in Los Angeles, doing some stuff out in Arizona, and then, let's see, I'm going to come back doing Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the 27th and 28th, I believe, of January, and then I will be at the Mall of America that first week of February.
House of Comedy.
House of Comedy.
Rick Bronson's. Headlining that bad boy.
I don't think I'm headlining.
Oh, you're doing the
one of the spots, the middle spot, or
oh, that's nice. Know. That's
I don't
easy.
Know what's going on.
That's, okay, fair enough. You have a website, right? What's your website?
GillespieComedy.com. That's GILLESPIE. GillespieComedy.com. You can find me on Twitter at Epa Gillespie. That's EPI Gillespie. That's the same for Instagram as well. Epa Gillespie. Facebook too, guys. And I have a YouTube channel, Steve Gillespie.
Nice YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Good call. I'll be at Acme Comedy Company the 9th through the 13th. Bob's Comedy Bunker, January 5th and 6th in Arden Hill. Really excited about those shows, Arden Hills.
Bob's Comedy Bunker.
Welch's Big Ten Tavern. Did you ever do it? It was like Scott Hansen's Comedy Gallery. It was like the Tangerine Room.
I don't think I ever did that.
Eight different bookers. Okay. It's got that big pig outside of it. There's a gigantic. It can be.
Okay. That's a Friday, Saturday?
We'll see. It's a Friday, Saturday. I'm co-headlining that. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I mean, I think it's entirely based on how many people show up. I don't think there's like a set pay. I feel like it's like a door deal kind of thing.
All right.
So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, I got a bunch of new stuff we're trying out. Steve and I both have albums out on Stand Up Records. Alive on State, Steve's Mind, Sex, and Politics. Go to standuprecords.com, standupcrap.com.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
both reasonably priced, or you can buy a hard copy. Because CDs are still a thing.
Sure.
At one of our shows.
I think you can order that online.
You can order the hard copies online.
Yep.
Do you have any like little things besides that, like pins or Chris Maddock? Very funny Minneapolis comedian Chris Maddock is recording his CD January 19th at the Hook and Ladder. He was at Sisyphus with some guitar picks.
Oh, cool.
That were advertising the show.
No, I don't play. I don't have anything like that.
Okay. This is a great album. No, I'm just going to throw out the, you know, because sometimes there's like other stuff. Exactly. Just get the album.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we got about 5 minutes left. You a big resolution guy. 2018's coming around, Steve.
Yeah,
any changes
you're
thinking about making?
I'm
any
stop. I stole a bike.
Stole a bike
at the end of the year here.
Motorcycle?
No, I ran out of. This is a true story. I feel bad about it. I ran out of gas and I'm an idiot. And
where did you run out of gas?
I don't want to say where exactly because maybe somebody will hear this and I'll get convicted for a rhyme.
Okay. All right. Well, you ran out of gas somewhere.
I ran out of gas somewhere.
That's
and,
a good point.
My car was on the side of the highway, and I was in the middle of nowhere, and the closest gas station was like 5 miles away, so I had to walk, and I was in the middle of nowhere, so my Geico whatever, they couldn't help me, my roadside assistance, and it was like late at night, so I walked
I started walking, and then I got to the gas station. I like ran. It was cold. And I ran
5 miles.
5 miles.
You ran. I did cross country.
Yeah, but that's still these days is difficult for me. So I got to the gas station, and then on the way back, I noticed that there was a bicycle in the front yard of this house, like a kid's bicycle, right?
Boys or girls?
I would say it was a lady's, but I don't know. I can't. I don't want to.
Sure. Were there tassels? Because that's usually a tip off.
There were some tassels, and there was a little basket. Okay. Well. So I don't know. Who knows what gender enjoyed that bike? I'm not going to get into that. I stole a bike. Let's just focus on that.
Okay.
A bike.
Well, the basket would help for like the gas.
Yeah. I had the gas in the basket.
Well, then you just,
And then I rode the bike. It felt really bad, but I just did it. And now I feel really bad about it. And,
do you still have it?
No, I just left the bike, out there by the
highway. Paying it forward.
Yeah. I kind of felt like, that, you know, it's such a, like a little town that maybe I'm most
someone
likely
would recognize that,
just
like, oh,
drive
that's...
past and be like, hey, that's my bike.
Yeah, or they think like, oh, something really happened to Susie.
I really feel bad about it. So
it's okay. So
my resolution
is to feel less
bad
about it.
Maybe I should do. I should like donate a bicycle to somebody, or I should like somehow donate money. I should pay it forward. You're right. I should do that. That's what I should do.
Well, I thought you meant like, I meant like literally just giving the bike to someone else.
Well, I don't have the bike anymore.
Well, yeah, but you left it. Someone else might have found it.
So hopefully that they could find
it.
It
might have gotten returned.
I hope so. I hope so.
If it was a unique bicycle.
So I think my resolution is going to be, I am going to donate to something.
You're
going
to donate to something.
I'm going to find a good cause. I'm going to help somebody out. That'll be it. And then I'm not going to steal any bikes in 2018.
I mean...
You don't seem happy.
Not a lot of. No, I mean, I think it's a great resolution. It's just like most resolutions. I mean, you wind up breaking them. So I just.
Okay.
Well, people, I'm going to lose weight this year. This is the year I joined the gym.
Yeah.
This is the year I read more. Like, you're not.
No, you're going to get fatter and you're going to get dumber.
But I think I think you'll be able to not steal a bike this year.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try really hard not to.
Have you stolen bikes other years?
No, it was, I think, the first bike I ever stole.
Okay, well, that's a pretty realistic resolution.
I guess I didn't really steal it. I just used it.
Well, yeah, you don't still have it.
I don't still have it.
So. I mean, that's what the bike was there. I mean, not there for you, but, like, that's what you use the bike, what the bike is for.
I need to find it. Somebody hit me up. Somebody that hears this. Somebody hit me up on my website or Facebook, and if you know someone that's in need... Maybe just like a poor family that needs a bicycle for their child. Buy them a bicycle.
So this is you're going to donate a bicycle.
I'll donate
a bicycle to a needy family.
I want to be able to. Yeah.
Child.
When I give back, I want to know who I want to see the person's face. And
you want to see the
give it to them.
Yeah, you don't want to see their face if you're taking it from them.
No, I don't
want to
see
that. If you're the one giving it to them, you definitely want them to be there for it.
Yeah.
So they know Steve Gillespie got me this.
Exactly.
Maybe throw on the album for when they're older.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Your parents can keep it. You're not ready for it, but you know when the time comes, you can listen to it and be like, "That's
what's a compact disc, mister?" What's yours, Billy? We got 48 seconds.
Oh boy, I don't know, man. This question caught me off guard.
Oh, did you? You're the one that
really,
asked me.
I wasn't really prepared. Rarely is it flip back on me. I think what do I want to do? I don't know. I feel like I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you're doing
great. What do you think? What do you think I should do?
For you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Beard?
I'd probably stop wearing jackets that make you look like a professor. That's where I would start.
That's my niche, though. That's my image. Like how Moby's bald and has glasses. Like, that's my Moby glasses. Like,
no
that's
more jackets
my,
with
people
the
wouldn't know
pads.
Who I am. People
no
wouldn't know who... Those are practical.
Pads.
It's slippery out. You have to break your fall. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy your rest of your weekend.
See you later. But I was bad to the bone.